From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. With us today to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend Andrew Patterson. And in just a few moments, in fact right after some words and song, he'll be letting the Bible speak from Mark's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. So, be sure to continue listening.
Could we catch the glistening of the dew or snowflake or the rainbow colors painted on the clouds? Add to these the brightness of the stars and moonlight and the mantle white which mountain peaks enshroud. Then if we could catch the glitter of each jewel from the earth or gathered from the briny sea, blend them all together in one mighty prism, still the loveliness of Christ is more to me. He is altogether lovely, He's the fairest of the fair, and on Him alone through life I can depend. Oh, all language fails completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and friend. Did you ever see a baby smile on waking, or behold the mother light in eyes of love? Something which no artist ever yet was able to portray unless inspired from above. Yet my soul hath seen a vision quite immortal, far beyond the power of human eyes to see. Something sweeter, grander, holier, and lasting. It's the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and King. I have reveled in the glory of the sunset and the blending of God's colors at the dawn. I have marveled at the petals of the flowers, and I thrilled while listening to the night bird's song. I have passed through lanes with orange perfume laden, till enraptured in its magic power I dream. Could some way be found to gather these together, still the loveliness of Christ is more to me.
Good morning, folks. Lovely with you again this morning. We do thank the Reverend Curran for his words of introduction. I want to read just one verse to you from Mark chapter 10, verse 21. It says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. The talk on many people's lips is to do with the financial difficulties that the world economy seems to be in at this present time. And those difficulties have been felt in our own parochial setting, as firms go into administration and people lose their jobs. There is a great wind of change blowing from the days of prosperity and indulgence to days where there is a tightening of the financial belt, and the dark clouds of concern for the future which seem to hang over our heads. What, of course, is left out of it all is the fact that our God is sovereign and his promises to his people shall never fail, and the land needs God's mercy again. But people caught up in their own little empire, going about only to make money, have very little time for the things of God or the matters which concern their spiritual well-being. It is a most difficult thing for one who is trusting in riches to be saved. But thank God, with him all things are possible. And in the scriptures we have Joseph of Arimathea and Zacchaeus, who both were rich men, and yet they were saved and assured of heaven. But sadly, while these may be examples, yet they may also be exceptions to the rule. For as we come across this passage, the Lord having spoken to the children, he is also interested in the young people, as he speaks to the one who has become known as the rich young ruler. When we read of this young man, there is a sense that immediately we fall in love with him. There's much that endears us to him. There's earnestness, there's honesty about him. Yet the Lord was to say to him, "One thing thou lackest." It could be that this young man is typical of someone who's listening to my voice this morning. There's much that is wholesome and endearing about you. And yet the Lord himself would also whisper these words to you, "One thing thou lackest." Why did the Lord have to say these words? Here was a man who was trusting in riches instead of the Redeemer. In all the gospel record, you will be pressed hard to find a sadder incident than that which stirs us in the face concerning this young ruler. If there is one thing which is clear throughout the scriptures, particularly so where the gospel is concerned, then it is this, that it is possible to be so near the gospel and yet not be in a saving relationship with Christ. It was the Lord himself who said, speaking in the course of the Sermon of the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And there will be those who will stand before God in the last day, and they said, 'Lord, we did this and we did that. We even done the miraculous. We even were caught up with doing great works.' Yet his answer will be, 'I never knew you.'" We can think of those who were so near to Christ, yet they did not know him as Savior. Judas was one of the 12. It was he who heard the prince of preachers speak words of life. It was Judas who knew the presence and the company of the Lord. Moreover, it was Judas who got so near to the Lord that he placed a kiss upon his cheek. Yet with the warmth of that kiss, he went to a suicide's grave and to a Christ rejecter's hell. Pilate got close enough to the Lord that he could see his glorious majesty. He could understand that he was a just man, one who had done no wrong. He could say to the crowd, "I find no fault in him." And yet with that image pressed upon his heart and mind, he was to go to a lost eternity. King Agrippa, who in hearing God's servant preach of Christ, his death and resurrection, was brought to the place where he had to say, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But the silence of Scripture would indicate that there never came that time when he was altogether persuaded. He was in close proximity to Christ and to the message of salvation, but he never embraced him. And in this passage we have a young man who got within close proximity to the Lord. The Savior, having blessed the children, was about to make his way toward Jerusalem. His time was nigh when he would be delivered into the hands of evil and wicked men and crucified upon the cross. But while the Savior was upon the way, there came this young man running to him, desiring to meet him before he was gone. He was a young man who was so near the Lord in the physical sense, he could behold that face which would be marred more than any man's. He could see those cheeks from which the Roman soldiers would soon pluck the hairs from. He could see his mouth from which flowed words of life and truth, and in which there was no guile. He was in a close proximity to the Savior, and in a sense he got even closer, for he reached his very heart. For we are told that the Lord, beholding him, loved him. The Lord had a compassion for this young man. Why did he come to be so close to the Master? Verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This young man was found running because there was a very important question that was troubling and gripping his very heart. Usually it would have been the distress of the body that caused men to run to Christ so that they might be healed. But not so with this man. His distress was out of the soul. And such was his distress and concern that it didn't matter what others thought of him. He was a rich man. We know that from Luke's account in Luke 18 verse 23. And no doubt the evidence of which would have been seen in his demeanour and in his apparel. But that status and way of life was forgotten as he came running and flinging himself down in the dust before the Lord. He came with a question that he needed answered. Verse 17, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" All his life this young man had been striving to do works which were pleasing to God. He was one who knew the commandments, and he sought to keep them to the best of his ability. But yet deep down in his heart, he knew that he had fallen short of the mark. There was still something that he needed to make sure of his entrance into heaven. But yet for all that, we read that he was to turn his back on the claims of the Lord. As verse 22 states, he went away grieved. These words tell their own sad story. But this young man was so near to the Lord that he went away still having no saving relationship with him. And that, my friend, is a tragedy. A tragedy that has been repeated in this our day and generation, whereby there are young men and women and older, who have heard the message of the gospel. They have heard the claims of Christ. They have seen him throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. It may be in a religious fashion the very same people will take the Bible down and they will read before they go to sleep. There have been those times when the Lord has drew very near through his Spirit, and they have been convicted of their sin. And there's young men and women and others, having heard the call of the Lord to their own souls, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." And yet for all that, they still have no saving relationship with the Lord. I wonder, does this sum up your spiritual condition this morning? I wonder, are you the one who has sat in the church, who has maybe even before that sat in the Sunday school room, and you've heard of the message of the gospel, and you've been brought to consider the cross of Calvary. You've considered, you've heard of the one who was nailed to that cross, the one who bearing shame and scoffing rude, "In my place condemned he stood, in the sinner's place. And in that sinner's place he sealed our pardon with his blood." Yet today, there does not emanate from your heart as yet, "Hallelujah, what a Saviour." I wonder this morning, will you afresh consider Christ? Will you realize that you are the sinner who needs to be saved? You may be close in the physical sense. You may be those whom the Lord could say, "Thou art not far from the kingdom." But yet as we speak to you this morning, you still have no saving relationship with Christ, and you have no assurance that you'll ever be in God's heaven. It is my prayer that even this morning that you'll have done with your sin, and you will repent, and turn by faith, and ask the Lord to save you from your sin, and ask the Lord to be your Saviour. Join me again next time. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we let the Bible speak.